Hallelujah. God is good. God is good.
Yes, we continue studying the Bible, using the Bible, and our book, Financial Prosperity. Okay. Previously, we studied, we reminded ourselves what prosperity is. You remember? And we say that true financial prosperity is when God, with or without money, provides for all your immediate needs and assignment and you're content and grateful with that. All right? It didn't have to be, Anyway, when God provides for your needs, okay? Not as compared to someone else, but your needs. Okay, that is financial prosperity. Of course, we say that. That doesn't mean that God is not interested in increasing you, okay, or increasing us, okay? Yes, he's interested in increasing us. But before that comes, if you have all that you need, okay, and all that you need to eat, to dress, to give, to things God wants you to give to, you are prosperous. Hallelujah. Last week, lesson two was how to avoid shipwreck. Okay? How to avoid getting our lives wrecked or destroyed. Okay? Number one, we said we should always be content with what we have. Number two, we should always be ready to be a blessing. And number three, we should always remember that money is not the most important thing. Glory be to God. Now today, we're going to remind ourselves that love is the foundation for prosperity. Okay? Love is the foundation. Glory be to God. Let's open the Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, verse 36. Okay. Matthew 22, from verse 36. You all know what we're going to read. Okay. So you're not going to hear anything new, because God hasn't given me new revelations. All right, so I'm not going to come and lie to you and try to impress with deep things. Okay, but this is very deep. Okay, so a lawyer came to Jesus and asked him. He said, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Glory be to God. And verse 40 actually says that Jesus continued and said that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Glory be to God. Okay? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Glory be to God. What this means to me is that everything in the kingdom, is supposed to have it's supposed to have love as the foundation. Glory be to God. Anything in the kingdom, the foundation has to be love. Love for God and love for his people. Glory be to God. Anything in the kingdom, and that means that any doctrine, any teaching, any study in the word of God, in the kingdom of God, has love as the foundation. You ask me one thing you can teach which doesn't have love as a foundation. It's not there. Glory be to God. Now, Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Romans 13. I have a hard copy because my phone was acting up. Romans 13 from verse 8. It says, owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Remember, Jesus said that on these two commandments, the commandments to love God and one another, is a summation of the law and the prophets. And this is essentially what Paul is saying. He's saying that he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Glory be to God. So, what is love? One of the simplest definitions of love is in verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Glory be to God. Sylvia and Lydia and Rachel and Joanne, they have another definition of love, which is not wrong, but one of the simplest is this one in verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Glory be to God. Love does no harm to a neighbor. And Jesus took it, when we think about harm, we think about manifest love, physically manifest harm. But Jesus took it higher and said that actually, even what you do, the harm that you do in the heart, it is also harm. He says if you're angry at somebody without a cause, you've basically murdered. And so that is harm. So love does no harm to a neighbor. Then say, therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. Glory be to God. Amen. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is a fulfillment of everything and anything that God wants us to do. And that God wants us to be. It is a fulfillment. It is that. So that means that love is the foundation of everything. Okay, and in the context of our Bible study, love is the foundation of prosperity. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, most people, prosperity eludes them. Okay, and I'm not talking about $1 billion. But just having needs provided, it eludes them. And, you know, sometimes, they don't have to look so far, It is things to do sometimes, not always, but sometimes it is something to do with, what Kenneth Hagin used to call the love walk, Of course, we have to remember, that no one is perfect, No one is what? Is perfect. But usually there are those things in our individual lives that God will highlight, And say, this thing, watch out, leave it, you understand? He will tell, usually he will highlight a thing, Because we're all not what? There's no human, who walks in perfect love. It is only Jesus who has ever done that. However, there will be something God will highlight in someone's life and tell him that thing, is messing you up. You had better stop it. Or you had better do this. Glory be to God. I remember many years ago, I had a dream, which I didn't write in the book. But in this dream, there's a friend of mine, some guy we studied with at the university, He had done something that really didn't amuse me, And I was slowly, keeping grudges, Anyway, during one of those days, I had a dream, And basically, the dream was saying, I can just give you the interpretation. The dream was saying that if you like revenge for what this guy did, it is going to take you a long time, to get to where you're supposed to be going, where you're supposed to reach. Now, I wasn't planning to revenge or anything, but it looks like God was seeing my heart, and maybe he was seeing that maybe the revenge might not be physical, but it might just be maybe withholding a friendship, or just anyway, whatever, or harming in the heart again, All right? Because what we do in the heart counts just like what we do in the physical. And I had a dream. Now God highlights that thing. Now you can do all the other things. You can greet people, high five, give hugs, But you're doing something God has highlighted, And it messes you up. You understand, So those things, God, no one is perfect, no one has a perfect love walk, But there are those things, and I'm not saying God will highlight them in a dream, But you know that somehow there will be something standing out, in your life, and you yourself know that man, it's not good, And by mere fact that it stands out, it is highlighted, it means, you should pay special attention to it, and do the needful. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, let's read a bit of our book. This book is not long, so we just read a few things. Page 77. Page 77. The last paragraph. Okay. Basically, what we're going to do is to say what I have already said. Okay, that's what we're going to read. Page 77, the last paragraph says that in the Old Covenant, the prerequisite to prosperity was keeping the law of Moses as given by God. Okay, when he said, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations." John, you're laughing. "Above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Okay? Then I continued and I wrote that here is good and bad news for you. The bad news is that God's standards and requirements for you to qualify for financial fortune have neither changed nor decreased. The good news, however, is that now you just have to keep just one law, the law of love, which is the summation of all the hundreds of commandments the Jews were to observe. Paul wrote, as we read in Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 10, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfilling of the law. So if you walk in love, you qualify for the prosperity that was promised to the children of Abraham, whose child you are now." Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, there's something I've always been I've thought about, but I've never said it, okay? But maybe today's an opportunity to say it, okay? Remember, one of the things which we are not supposed to do, okay, which is also under love, is adultery, okay? So that means that adultery, okay, can mess up people's finances. Have you ever thought about it? Because we just read, it is under those things, thou shalt not, and it is all summed up by love. Isn't it? Okay? So that means, okay, adultery can mess up people. Because adultery, you're not walking in love towards your wife or husband. Isn't that so? Okay? Have you ever thought about it? In 1 Corinthians, okay? The things you read, and you're like, let me keep these things to myself, because especially since we're in the what? In the high progress movement, you're like, let me first what? I'll give my opinions at an opportune, what? Yeah, who time. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Okay? This is when I first began to think about this issue. 1 Corinthians 10, let's read from verse 6. It says that now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. You remember, guys did several things, and the end result was they didn't enter the promised land because of those things. You remember? Okay? So, verse 6 says, now these things happen, these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Aha, here it is. No, let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 20,000 fell. Do you see it? Okay? Sexual immorality, and they did not enter the promised land. A land flowing with what? Milk and honey. I've always looked, we always talk about the complaining, that they complained, and so they did not enter the promised land. Okay? But the other things that they did. Do you understand? And one of them that Paul highlights is sexual immorality. Okay? Which is not adultery only. Okay? Married, But also the singles. Okay? What some people define as what? Fornication. Okay? Singles, people having sex that they shouldn't have. Okay? It's there, Joan is the one who wants to what? To read the Bible, Lord. Yeah. You can study, but it's there. And remember, Romans 13, okay? Among the things someone who walks in love is not supposed to do is adultery. Okay? And you say love is a foundation. Okay? So, Joan, sometimes people are going to come to you and want my finances. I don't know, man, this guy, man, he's cheating on his wife. An habitual cheater. And you can find that, just him stopping cheating on his wife. Glory be to God. You remember on Sunday we talked about complaining, not being content. Okay? So that is complaining. But the other thing, there's something else. Adultery or fornication, which includes homosexuality, all those things. Glory be to God. That is for you to think about. Okay? I've never had a prosperity preacher saying that what? Adultery can mess up what? Finances. But it's, according to me, it's there in the Bible. If love is a foundation, and adultery is not love, then that means you can get messed up. Glory be to God. Amen. That could be the newest thing the only new thing that you're going to hear today. But I've always, every time I would read 1 Corinthians 10, we talk about complaining, they tested God, they walked in unbelief, all those things. But this other subject, this other bit. Glory be to God. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, love is the foundation. Hallelujah. Now, that also means, maybe this is what God wants us to talk about today. That also means that all these things, Romans 13, 9, because it says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. That means adultery can mess you up. Okay? You shall not steal. Okay? People are stealing. Okay? People are not paying their workers. Eh? Okay? Say, next month. But you don't, any such thing. You're stealing people's what? Money. Okay? You shall not bear false witness, which includes lying. Okay? You all know we have what? Liars in the church. Not LAT, but the body of Christ, isn't it? Okay? If liars were not there, there wouldn't be scriptures in the Bible where Paul writes and telling people to stop lying. Okay? By the mere fact that he's telling them to stop lying, it means they are what? They are lying. All right? So that means that bearing false witness, okay, which includes lying, find some guys and, okay? 20, what? Anyway, and lying includes making promises you don't have intention to what? To keep. Or you can't keep them, but you don't communicate, bearing false witness. Then you shall not what? Covet. How do they pronounce that word? Covet. Well, it depends on your accent. Okay? Covet. What does that mean? Sam, you're the one who went to Buddha. Desiring other people's things. Doc Hill, is that true? He's right. Okay, desiring other people's things. Desiring what? Other people's things. You think that, Natasha Museveni's car should be yours. Well, you somehow think you don't have a car and you think Natasha is responsible. So every time you see her with a car, you're like, that car belongs. If I would have a car, I don't have a car because she has a car. Most of these things guys say, people say, concerning people who are rich or people who are better off than them, they essentially imply that. People believe, but it never occurs to them, They think they don't have, they think the reason why they don't have is because of the other people who have. You don't have a shirt, you see Sam with a shirt, and now you're like, Sam has your shirt. If Sam didn't have that shirt, I would be having it. I mean, this is, by the way, at the root of all this thing where people hate people, don't like people who are doing better than them. It is that what? The mindset. You're like, I would be okay, but the other person. As in, the person has your money. And then you're like, but how would you have gotten it, You don't do the same work that he does. First of all, you don't have a job. So how would you get their money? Do you understand? Okay? Which reminds me of, there's a small book Rick Joyner wrote years ago, and I read it years ago. It's called, Breaking the Curse of Poverty. Something like that, Okay, and he used Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, and from Isaiah 58, he highlighted a certain scripture. Let's look for it. Is it 58? Which is that verse, that chapter of fasting? You Joan, who likes fasting. It is 58, Okay, where does the fasting start from? Verse what? Verse 4. Verse 3. Okay, he says that, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, okay, now I think this is God speaking, eh? He says, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. Definitely, this is not working in love. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an unacceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover them, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. Okay? Verse 9, part B. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, okay, and speaking wickedness. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the dark, and your darkness shall be as a noonday. All right? Yes, so the verse I wanted to get to, I was looking for, is in verse 9, eh? Which says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger. Okay? And Rick Joyner highlighted that, eh? Okay? In that book, eh? I think it is called Breaking the Curse of Overcoming the Spirit of Poverty. Okay? And what he said, you know, the revelation he got from that is basically guys who point fingers at the rich, eh? At people who are doing better, eh, than they are, you know, eh? Pointing finger, critic, you know, eh? You don't know what the guy got, man. The guy is born again, you know, eh? He has been giving, tithing, he loves the Lord. God has blessed him, eh? All right? Maybe the guy got an inheritance, you know, eh? From, you know what I mean, eh? And now because he has what you don't have, you know, you put in, that whole thing that what the rich are greedy. Okay? Some, yes, are greedy, but not all of them. Okay? And he says this thing, pointing the finger, okay? Find a way of getting that book, eh? Okay? I don't know if it is free online, eh? But I had a copy many years ago when I was in medical school. And I remember that bit. Pointing the finger. And actually, even I think we took it to a wider level of, I think, did he? I don't remember. But I think he talked about like churches, eh, being broke. Small churches, okay, which are broke. Okay? Because they point fingers at the mega churches. Okay? They think they are broke because the other mega churches took all the money. Eh? They don't have because the other guys, eh? You know, eh? The other mega churches, the other guys were You know, 10,000. You know, pointing fingers. And the thing affects what? The church. You see, pointing the what? Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And you can see this whole Isaiah, the fasting beat. God is addressing people's not what? Not walking in love. They are fasting, but they are, you know, in verse 3, they are exploiting their laborers. All right? Remember, the other day we read James 5, okay? About the rich and say, man, you're going to pay in the last, you know, the Lord is coming. Because you have accumulated people's, you know, the wages of those who labored for you, You've become rich because of that, okay? So these guys are doing that, okay? In verse 6, okay, they are not losing the bonds of wickedness. They are not undoing the heavy burdens. They are not letting the oppressed go free, okay? Okay? They are not, you see what I mean, Okay, and it is messing them up. And God is like, those are yours. So, love is a fulfillment of the law, okay? And when you break it down, okay, the Bible way, love includes not committing adultery. Okay? So if someone is committing adultery, they're not walking in love. Okay? It can mess up their finances. Okay? Coveting, according to Mark's accent. Coveting. Okay? You think anyone who looks like no man, okay, he's the reason why, what? Why you don't have what? You don't have food. Because those guys, you understand? But it doesn't occur to you that some of the people who look like no man, okay, like Natasha and Patience, you know, I mean, they're born again. Glory be to God. They are born again. Okay? They are born again. They support the kingdom of God. They feed the hungry. And God has blessed them. And in any case, their father is a president. Do you expect children of the president to be broke? Even if they are not saved. Just then add up. There are some privileges. Okay? There are some benefits and privileges that come to people by the virtue of the position they hold in society. Okay? Even if Natasha stopped giving, okay, she will have a much better car than many people. Why? Not because of her, but because of her dad. You understand? So, having a car, how does that mean that it is the reason why you don't have a car? You understand? Okay? Of course, you know, of course people steal man and what, you understand? Okay, but some of the people we are pointing fingers at, people are very innocent. And then it is also wrong to really say that they are the reason why you what? You're in this state. Okay, that might imply that your trust is in people. It is not in God. Okay? Trusting the government. Okay? The government has never been your God. God has never said that the government will supply all your need. Trusting in government. Blaming LAT for your children not knowing what? The scriptures. You know, it is not the reason why your kids don't know scriptures. You are the parent. You're the one who's supposed to what? Teach your kids scriptures. Not, you know. Okay? This is a mindset. The right mindset. These are SCE schools, what? Are using these Christian International Schools. They're like, it is not our responsibility to like educate your kids. They say that we just come alongside to help you. But you're the parents. For us, we come to help. You understand? And it makes sense. That's why, by the way, I had plans sometime last year, but maybe I should implement it, of getting all the parents, people who have kids in charge, okay, to have a roster where they all, a day, in children's church. Lydia, you've heard. Do you understand? That's what they do at our kids' school. Okay? You go there, you do 2 hours, you sit with a kid, man, and do work together in school, not at home. Isn't that cool? So I had that idea, but somehow I think other thoughts came. To get guys to what? They call you, Lydia, next week. Then now you choose whether to cut church or what? All right? Yeah, pointing fingers, all those things, lying, they affect what? They affect people's prosperity. Those things are there, people who borrow, but they never pay. Have guys, man. Okay? Christian, Baloko, and these are very good people. And sometimes I think Bambi may be because these are very nice people, man. Okay? Very nice people. But sometimes when they realize that you don't have the money, now, I mean, you bought land of how much money now, really. Kati, the 20K you've lent me, Egwe, Tezuku Kuhosa, 20K. And they will treat you like that. They are, Now, such is, And now that same guy always comes to what? Man, pray for me, my finances. But what he's doing to you, by the way, he's doing it to many people. Realers, workmates. But naturally, they're nice guys, nice chicks. But they borrow and they never pay. You see, those things. And now you find that for such an individual, God highlights that one. God highlights that one. In fact, when you give them the 20K, they'll go to church on Sunday and they'll give a 3K on the 20K. So I think they are givers, I think. Okay, but not paying back. So now you find someone like that, God might not highlight giving. Because God knows that, I guess what? They are givers. Bambi, they are givers. And then he highlights the other thing of what? Borrowing and not paying. And then they think it's not a big deal. Because they haven't lied. They haven't stolen anyone's money. But if you borrow and you don't pay, or if you're not able to pay, you don't communicate, then that is as good as what? Stealing. All right? And you find an individual, it is that common thing that is messing them up. That one thing. Meanwhile, they are what? Now, when they get their money, instead of paying back, they are busy what? Sowing what? Sending money to Copeland, to which fellowship? You understand? And they think not paying back the other thing, because I'm supporting the kingdom of God. And they, And God says, no. You don't do that. Do that, but also what? You see, It is, again, I say, love is a what? The foundation. Love is a what? And Love includes not what? Not stealing. Okay? And stealing includes borrowing and not paying. Now, if you're not paying because you're not able to, or the time hasn't yet reached to pay, that's okay. Do you understand? If I borrow money from you and I tell you I'm going to pay you in December, if I get money now, okay, and I give it to Alan and I don't pay you back, that's okay. I told you December and you agreed, isn't it? So that's okay. Okay. But now if December comes and I have the money, you know, and then I look at you like, but Lydia, your husband is rich. He was in Brazil the other day. And now all that per diem got. As in, you guys, you already what? We see your profile pics on a plane, you know. Cutty, the 50K, really, really, 50K. But God is like, okay, it could be little, but it's not yours. You know, Yeah. Okay. Hagin used to like that scripture. Okay, that it is the little foxes that do what? That spoil the vine. Think somewhere in Ecclesiastes. The little, Song of Songs. He's a woman who, what? it is in Song of Songs. The little foxes. Okay? The little foxes. But sometimes they are big foxes. The thing you're doing is major. Little foxes. It's major. You know, it's not, you know. It is real major. You're going to revenge. This guy did this to me. I have to make sure that what? He pays back. You plot to make sure that he gets in trouble also. Now, that is not a little fox. That is a huge one. Hey, and God would want us to what? To address those things. Glory be to God. Amen? Page 81. Okay. Page 81. Let's read. You remember that dream I had in which Joyce Meyer and Crawford Dollar featured? Okay. Yeah, it says that in the year 2006, while a student at UC Berkeley, I received this wonderful dream. I was at a party seated with Joyce Meyer and Crawford Dollar. I told Joyce Meyer, I'd rather listen to you when you're talking about love. But if it comes to prosperity, I'd rather listen to Crawford Dollar. You remember in those days, Crawford Dollar was known for talking about dollars. Okay? To this day, I'm not sure whether the route it took. Maybe it's God. But this, he was, of course, there are some things maybe would have corrected with the prosperity gospel. But the guy, man, and by the mere fact that he featured in a dream of prosperity, means that's one of the key things God had called him to do. So anyway, I told Joyce Meyer that I'd rather listen to you when you're talking about love. But if it comes to prosperity, I'd rather listen to Crawford Dollar. Joyce Meyer then responded, young man, never separate those two things. It is at this point that I addressed both of them saying, Joyce Meyer, you preach about love, and Crawford Dollar, you preach about prosperity. But as for me, I will preach both. Then I woke up. Okay? But before I woke up, there's something I didn't write. You know, this book was supposed to be brief. I remember after I told both of them that, you know, Creflo, when I told them that for me I'll preach both love and prosperity, okay? Later we were, I think the party had ended, and so we are walking away, but then it began to rain. So as it rained, Creflo and Joyce Meyer, stood under one umbrella. Okay, and for me, I stood behind them, like watching them. They were under the same one umbrella. Okay, then I woke up. So what does the umbrella bit mean? I thought about it for quite some time, but then later I realized that it's one of those things where every sin means the same thing as the other. Okay? So remember, I told them I'll preach both. Okay? And then the dream is ending when they are. Remember, Jeremiah said, never separate these two things, love and yes. Now that message is repeated again. Okay? When I tell them, I'll preach both. The message is what? Repeated. Then the preacher of love and the preacher of prosperity are all standing under one umbrella. You get it? The message is repeated. Okay? Love and prosperity going together. They are inseparable. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why Jeremiah told me, young man, I think he realized that what? You know, here comes another stupid, what? All these young men are stupid. They think they have the what? They have something new which us old guys, what? Don't know. I say, young man, I have seen many like you. And you think this love thing is not important. As long as you know the scriptures, you know the Greek, you know the Hebrew, Okay? You can commit adultery and you think it's okay. You can lie and you think it's okay. You can covet and you think it's okay. And then, man, that is all in the package of love. Okay? And love and prosperity are inseparable. Glory be to God. Okay? So she said it. Okay? First of all, they were seated at the same table to begin with. Okay? Then she said, never separate those two things. Okay? Then I said it. Okay? That I will preach both. Of course, that's especially meant that that's what God was telling me, okay, that you preach both of those things, okay, but also those two things are inseparable. And then the dream ends when they are standing together under one umbrella, meaning that love and prosperity, are supposed to be under one roof. Glory be to God. Amen. And what is love? Okay, love involves not committing adultery. Okay, complaining, pointing a finger, or coveting. All right, fornication. Remember, we saw it in 1 Corinthians 10, sexual immorality. Why they were not able to enter the promised land? Okay, it wasn't complaining alone. There was idolatry. Okay, and there was also sexual immorality, and they didn't enter prosperity. Glory be to God. Okay, now you can preach this what out here. You see, the grace of God. The grace. All you know. But it's here, written by what? The great preacher Paul. And you remember he said that these things were written for our examples. For our examples. Meaning that you do the same like those guys, you're going to get in trouble. Alright? Now you can see why what? It's important to know history. That was a history lesson, They went, then they were, then they died, then they were, history lesson. Say, this history lesson is for you. Glory be to God. Okay? We all, now, this is the thing, eh? Okay? We all, people want to hear deep things, you know, eh? Glory be to God. Eh? Come for a Bible study, you're going to deep. And the pastor wants to study deep. Prosperity, you study deep. Okay? And then people run over the small foxes. Nigga, my name is really deep. Okay? And I'm preaching, you know, those preaching deep things, but what? Okay? They are, you know, they are in trouble. Glory be to God. So you've seen it? Okay? Now, on the same page, we're now on page 82. There is a vision, okay? A vision, yeah? We can read that bit, okay? I wrote and I said that I'll close this chapter with a vision that my friend Apostle John Enoch Eziel had one day. It is really self-explanatory, and it teaches that no one can prosper financially the God way without enthroning love. Love is the master. Esteem him. That way, you will never see another day of financial depression in your life. Here now is John, is Apostle John's vision. In a vision, four spirit beings appear to me. They introduced themselves as love, wisdom, prosperity, and power. Wisdom said to me, "We have been sent out in these last days to work in a greater measure with those called of God. I, wisdom, shine brighter in the presence of my master love." It seemed like wisdom drew his power to shine through love, the same way the moon reflects the light of the sun. Then prosperity also spoke. "I also have been sent out to shine in a greater measure in the children of God in these last days. But the children of God seek me wrongly. I shine only where my master love is invited. Without my master love, all other principles about me are limited." Okay? All right? So you see, it says that then prosperity also spoke. Right? Prosperity is speaking. "I also have been sent out to shine in a greater measure in the children of God in these last days. But the children of God seek me wrongly. I shine only where my master love is invited. Without my master love, all other principles about me are limited." Okay? The principles of giving, the principles of tithing, the principles of hard work, eh? You know, eh? All right? There's a doctrine that hard work is what? It's amazing how, you know, we just swing from one what? You know, at one time I believed in hard work. Okay? Then later, someone said, "No, hard work, no. Just have to work smart. Hard work." You know, then you forget the scriptures in Proverbs. We talk about what? Then you also, anytime some guy says hard work, you know, eh? That's not, you know, eh? Then later, you realize, no, hard work is okay. You know, just, you know, eh? Just, all you need to do is to just shout the grace of God, "I'm blessed," you know, eh? What work? Okay, anyway, here it says that without love, without inviting love, yeah, love the master, all these other principles of hard work, working smart, all right, giving, tithing, whatever else they are, they're all limited without love. Love is the foundation. Okay? And now, as LAT, if we really invite in love, embrace love, okay, then, like it says here, okay, prosperity will shine brighter. Glory be to God. We shall not just have clothing and food, like Paul. All right? We shall not just have the bare what? Minimum, the basics. Okay? But if we have that now, we are content. Okay? But God wants, you know, prosperity to shine brighter in our lives. And he's like, you know, pay special attention to love. Because love is the what? The foundation. Glory be to God. Are you being blessed? All right? Therefore, okay, I'm now going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 from the Amplified Classic. Okay? Just a sentence. It says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. Glory be to God. Therefore, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. Hallelujah. Knowing that love is a foundation, you know, for prosperity. It is a prerequisite. Okay? Okay? God told the Jews, the Israelites, that if you obey all these things, you know, if you obey these, my commandments and laws, which Paul and Jesus says that they are all summarized as love, okay? He told them, if you do this thing, then you will live in plenty. You understand? Okay? All your life. Okay? And that hasn't changed for us. Okay? So, knowing that, what should we do? We should eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. Okay? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 from the Amplified Bible. Okay? Eagerly pursue. Seek to acquire. Make it your aim, your great quest. Glory be to God. Amen? It is that simple. All right? But like I told you, none is perfect. Okay? It is going to take us a long time to get someone in the world who will walk in love 100%. Okay? However, for every individual, there will be a certain area, you know, where you're not walking in love, which God will highlight. Okay? He will highlight it. Okay? There's a story I wrote, I think, in chapter 1. You know, how that love thing messed me up one time. I think it was in 2006. Okay? Let me look for it real quick. Page 14. Page 14. Yeah, in the year 2006, I received two dreams in which God added another important lesson on top of the first, where he told me, if you joyfully obey those of giving and receiving, you'll never see financial depression in your life. This second lesson unveiled to me that without love, giving will be unprofitable. I later realized that those dreams had come, first of all, as a warning message to me of the impending financial deficiency I was going to suffer if I continued known to walk in love towards my boss at the time. I did not heed the warning. Therefore, months later, I went through a three-month-long season of financial depression where I literally had to beg for financial support. Okay? At this point in time, I was honestly ignorant why the law of give and it shall be given to you had this time failed to work. So I asked the Lord where I had missed it. He then reminded me of the two dreams I have told you about and validated the explanation of my financial misery with a verse. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Glory be to God. Amen. Yeah. Unfortunately, I've forgotten the dreams, but in one of them, anyway, it was all about trying to get back at my boss because the guy had lied, you know. The guy had put me in trouble and he was lying. And I got angry and I also decided what? To like mess him up and, you know, as in expose how what? Bad he is, you know. And during those days, you know, I had a dream. And that was before I actually came back from school. Okay? And I had a dream where God was saying to me, you just steal that guy. Okay? As in forgive him, leave him. Okay? And I didn't. Okay? When I was in the States, I wrote mails. I was writing mails. And man, you guys, this guy, you just see him there. He's good in Uganda. But now for me, I'm here with him. The guy is a thug. He's a crook, you know, And you see now God highlighted that thing. Stop it, Okay? What you're saying is true. The guy is a thug, but for some reason, God, I'm telling you, stop it. Okay? Came back to Uganda, okay, continuing the gospel of how the guy is a thug. I was. I just came back from the States, but man, after like 4 months, You know? It was tough. It was bad. But I'm glad, that I had those nasty experiences. Because now I know how major, the love work is. Glory be to God. So these days when some guy messes me up, someone like, if it is like someone close to me, like an aunt or someone, I just chill them, If I know that every time I appear in their presence, they're going to mess me up, okay? And I'm going to get, what I do, I do my best not to be in their presence. I do my best. If it means not ever going to that house, I will do that. Especially if something has been required, you're like, man, you hasn't stopped this, you use all means, wise ways to let this person know that, man, what you're doing, I don't like, And then you're like, man, this is someone's nature. As far as you two are concerned, this is how they'll always what? Treat you, and this is what they'll always say. So what I do, I just say now, for the sake of my prosperity and other things, this person, Yeah, and I wish you well when things, good things are happening to you, wherever you are, I'm happy, When something bad happens to you, I'm sad, because Bambi, However, I will keep my distance, because I don't want to get messed up. You understand? If someone is messing you up all the time, getting you out of love, why do you always look for them, to be around them? Do you understand? Why? What are you looking for? Okay? Especially if you don't have to be around them. Anyway, for me, that's how I've operated for quite some time, and it's working for. I'm not telling you do what I do, but consider, ask, talk to God. Okay? But just get to know that love is a what? The foundation. Glory be to God. Amen.